Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Welcome to Being Here.
Yes, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Or good evening, depending where you're listening to this show on this planet called Earth.
And today's show is one. Are you nervous about this show? It's about dealing with difficult people.
I'm not at all nervous about it.
No, I'm not either.
I live with a person who used to be difficult.
Yourself?
That's right.
That was a good one.
Yeah. You should see your face.
Well, you know, I was so confused. Because it's been so long since we've been bickering at each other, and I was trying to catalog difficult. And then I realized it really does start with yourself. If you're having difficulties with yourself, it will definitely transfer to everybody around you.
Right. So let's start with the basics. Yes. For those of you who are listening for the first time, Ariel and I will and do finish each other's sentences.
And welcome aboard, whether it's your first or you've listened many, many times.
Now, speaking of listening, the basis of our technology of instantaneous transformation starts in listening. Most of us truly do not listen to another person when they're speaking. We're listening to our internal conversation about what that person's saying.
And you know what? That's the beginning, middle, and end of a lot of your challenges with what you're calling difficult people.
But you see, listening to see whether you agree or disagree isn't listening. Listening to see if you've already heard this before or know this is not listening. Listening, see, to truly listen is a creative act. It happens in the current moment of your life, and it takes all of your attention to be with your life in that moment as it's showing up. Then you are hearing what a person's saying from their point of view rather than your commentary, you know, that constant nattering that you listen to about whether you agree or disagree or like it or don't like it, as if life cares.
And many of you have such a skilled little microcomputer in there that comes up with comebacks or what you want to say, or it's calculating what it means. You're not
better words to you.
Right. So you're not actually listening to people. You're listening to your conversation about what they're saying.
It reminds me of when we write a book.
Right.
We can either write the book or edit while we're writing.
When we
edit while we're writing, we get absolutely nothing accomplished. When we write and then come back and edit at some future point in time, the writing then is very useful. It's the same thing with listening. You can either listen or edit what that person is saying through your thought processes as if you know better than they do their own point of view. So we're suggesting that you, in a way, surrender to your life as it's showing up, as though this moment is all there is, and you're listening to hear what somebody else is saying from their point of view. That in itself would cause a phenomenal shift in the way you interact with people and people interact with you.
I'd like to go back to Shia's opening gambit on this show, where he said he used to live with a difficult person. And I really, really see the brilliance of that. This show is a creation. It was totally unexpected for me what he said, but it had me take a look in a whole new way. Take a look in yourself. Don't you know, on a day when you're feeling well, even people who you may have considered difficult, they can be grumpy and you're like, that's okay, you're grumpy, here I am. But if you're off center or feeling growly yourself, then those people really, truly bother you. So we're not going to focus a lot on them. We're going to take a look at you because, you know, it's you that you can impact. And the way you're being absolutely impacts the people around you.
Well, if you look, you'll see that those people that you've been trying to change, they haven't changed.
No, they just stick with you and bother you and go home with you and you work on them in your mind.
Right. You know, if you have difficulty with one of the other of your parents, then you're constantly having a conversation with yourself about them. And they may even be dead.
You know, it's really interesting, too, having worked with people for as many years as Shai and I have, we've been doing this since 1987, so it's a while now, and if you take a look at it, everybody we've met who finds other people difficult still have incompletions with one or the other of their parents, because their parents are their archetype for men and for women, and if there are types of people that absolutely knock you off center and you get reactive to, it's old incompletions, and frequently it comes from how you relate to your parents or how you have related to your parents if they're no longer with you. Let's look at the three principles of instantaneous transformation, or those three simple ideas that really, really make an impact.
Well, they not only make an impact, they are almost like a superstructure to hang, or a skeleton on which to hang the flesh of one's life. You see, the first principle says anything you resist will persist, will grow stronger, and will dominate your life. And if you look, the things that you've resisted, the things that you haven't liked, that you've wanted to be different, those things have stuck around.
And that includes the people that you've resisted. That's why when you resist someone at work or in your day, that's what follows you home at night. What you resist persists. It grows stronger, and it absolutely dominates your life.
Now, the second principle is really quite interesting. And if you know, it's so apparent to me, but I've been looking at it for years. It says that you can only be exactly as you are in this moment of your life. So right now, you can only be the way you are, where you are. You can only be having the thoughts you're having, the body postures, the mood you're in, the relationships you have, the life you have. It's as though if we look in this moment of now, you can only be the way you are in this moment of now. Now, that's not too difficult to see, but do you realize how much time most of us, see, I didn't accuse you, I said most of us spend complaining about the way our lives are showing up, wishing they'd be different than they are, finding fault with the way things are going? It's like an addiction we have to disagreeing with the way our lives are showing up. And second principle, it can only be exactly as it is.
I know we didn't mention this yet, so before we get to the third principle, I really want to take a moment to talk about how our approach is anthropological. An anthropologist is a person who studies cultures. And as opposed to analyzing why they do something, it's about getting interested in the culture itself, how it's structured, simply to notice it, to notate it. And what we're suggesting is that you become an anthropologist with yourself, where you notate, notice, see without judging.
Discover who you are rather than judge yourself
for how you are.
Right.
So the third principle is anything you see without judging completes itself. So if you notice how you are or how they are without judging, it completes it. It completes the charge for you. We got that's cool there, right? That's all we need to talk about the three principles right now.
I think so.
In this process of dealing with people you find challenging, I think one of the biggest challenges is that people are unkind to themselves. Because if you ever lose your temper or fall off center or get locked in a type of tug-of-war or a disagreement with somebody, oftentimes you're hard on yourself for having been there. And that being hard on yourself leads to you doing it again.
We didn't say this yet.
What?
But if you actually listen to this show with having an attention on hearing what's being said from the point of view of the people speaking, that's us and any guests we happen to have, that's enough to have your life transform during the course of the show. This is not a work on yourself idea. In fact, the name of our first book is Working on Yourself Doesn't Work, the three simple ideas that will instantaneously transform your life. If you listen to this show to hear what's being said, it will pull you into the current moment of your life, and that's enough for your life to sync up. Most of us have been, well, we've all been raised, speaking of an anthropological approach, in a culture that is so forward-thinking or past-thinking that most people are never in the current moment of their lives. They're always off worrying about or thinking about those things that need to get done, should get done, they should have done, etc. And if you listen to hear what's being said, you will connect up to your inner truth in this time, not because we're going to give it to you, but because once you get into the current moment, you are living your truth.
You may want to look at what your part in people being difficult is. At a recent Monday Night Alive in New York City, which is our groups in New York, where people get together to a gymnasium to practice the skill set of living in the moment and being centered. A woman came who'd come to our last weekend workshop, and she came very early. And one of the things she came to tell us was she was very excited because people she'd known for years kept coming up to her and saying, "What happened to you? You're so nice." Now, we didn't talk to her about whether or not she was being nice or how she was particularly relating to people. She got into the moment. And in the moment, she was dealing with people in a way that it wouldn't trigger their difficulties. If you're unkind to somebody, they're likely to come back. Or if they're insecure and you're unwittingly picking on their insecurities, they'll come back at you. So that is just a starting jump-off place for dealing with difficult people. We'll talk more when we come back from the break.
Which we're going to shortly. We're not quite there yet, however. And, you know, you might look at difficult people in your life like Velcro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that when we come back.
That's right.
Come on back, everyone.
And don't miss being here.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Everybody is thinking green these days, but green is not just an environmental state of mind, it's a healthier state of being. It's the food we eat, the air we breathe, and the structures we live and work in. It's not the dollars that we're spending, but how we spend those dollars. Are we consciously making informed decisions? Join host Connie McCullough as she explores healthier living by choice. Living Green, Healthier by Choice, airs live on the Seventh Wave Network every Thursday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific Time. Tune in for the challenge of a lifetime, a challenge for greener, healthier living.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here.
Yes, we're talking about Velcro and fluff, I believe.
Yeah, in regards to dealing with difficult people.
Right. You know
how Velcro works?
Well, I do. Shall I tell them?
Oh, please.
Well, you've got these little plastic hooks, and you've got this plastic fluff. And if you bring the fluff and the hooks together, they grab each other and hold on.
That's what makes that great sound when you pull it apart.
Well, that is what we all have in dealing with difficult people.
So if you don't have hooks, their fluff won't grab. And if you're not fluffy, their hooks won't grab. So you can, in a certain respect, totally forget about them and keep looking to yourself. Because
right,
the more you...
If you remove one or the other from you, it doesn't exist over there to be grabbed onto.
You're like Teflon.
Teflon.
A nonstick surface.
Right.
We have a caller on the line. Shall we go to her?
Yes,
Mary. You there, Mary?
I'm here.
Hi, Mary. Nice to hear your voice.
Where are you calling in from, Mary?
I'm calling from St. Paul, Minnesota.
St. Paul, Minnesota.
Nice to hear your voice.
Yes, it's a lovely place. And it was nice to be at the workshop a couple weekends ago.
Thank you very much.
It was a pleasure having you there, Mary.
I had a wonderful time, met wonderful people.
That's great. By the way, for those of you who are interested in coming to our upcoming workshop, it's Creativity and Intuition in New York City, July 31st, August 1st, and 2nd. So do you have a question for us, Mary?
Well, I was listening to what you were saying about difficult people and knowing that was the topic, and trying to look at the relationship between my younger sister and I, which gets a little complicated.
Well, you know something? Let me stop you right here, Mary, because as soon as you said younger sister, I started getting images.
Speaking of creativity and intuition.
Right.
You start grinning here.
Right. So that's the beginning and middle and end of it. She's your younger sister. How much younger is she?
8 years.
8 years. Is there anybody between you two?
My younger brother is 6 years younger.
And how's your relationship with him?
Not much of a one.
Well, here's the thing, my dear. When you were 2 years old, your younger brother came along.
No, he's 6 years younger.
Six, when I was six.
When you were six, he came along. Ah, before that, you were the queen of the May.
Mm-hmm.
You were the little princess. You got all the attention.
Well, I shared it with my older brother.
Oh, no. He shared it with you.
Yes.
See, because when you came along, then it went from him being the only child there to you, and you were new, and everybody likes the new things better. You know that. You get a new car. Everybody wants to ride in it.
Right.
And those little ones are so darn cute.
That's right. And everybody's interested in them, and they seem to forget us. You know?
Yes.
So your brother came along and he took attention. Then your sister came along and she took attention. Look, I'll tell you, I was the baby of the family in my family. But one year, my aunt went to the hospital and my cousin came and lived with us for a week. Mm-hmm. I hated it. Everybody liked him better because he was still living in a crib, you see.
Uh-huh.
He was younger and sweet and all that, and everybody gave him attention. I hated it. And he wasn't even my brother. He moved back out. But I remember how much anger I had that this little creep came along and stole the show.
Well, so regardless of any adult complications, you have to forgive yourself for having a child's petty mind when you were young. Because our ideas about our younger siblings, for instance, get set in place as a prejudice before we have the ability to fully reason. And then it's in place and unexamined. It contributes to the complexity. It makes it almost impossible to dissolve difficulties because the underlying theme is one of resentment.
Yeah, there would be grounds for it. Not only did she come and take my place, but I had to take care of her.
That's right. So
I had
she also stole her childhood.
Yeah.
Right, you could be out playing, but you had to take care of her.
I did, yes.
Yes.
But see, even as you say that now, you unbeknownst to you, Mary, there was set in place a victimology where you're talking about it as a victim.
Right.
Rather than your poor parents, you raised children. You know what it takes. They didn't have everything. They didn't have all of the resources you have or the skill sets you have, and they needed your support. So you're resenting it as if it could possibly have been any other way.
Right, it couldn't have.
Yes, and the second principle of instantaneous transformation is perfect here, Mary, because you can't be different than you are right now, and you couldn't have been different than you were then, and neither could your parents, and neither could your circumstances in that time. The framework in which your life was being lived could only have been the way it was. And to victimize yourself with that would be a grave injustice to the greatness that you bring to your life.
But
I see it.
Thing about it, though, Mary, at age 6, at age 8, at age 10, adding on, when you were, quote, forced to take care of them, and you felt like a victim, kids often feel like victims. But unexamined, you're still being right about being a victim in that. So now let's reel forward into real time. If you're going to be right about being your sister's victim, then right now, in real time, your interactions have to be skewed to fit into that victimology, or you won't be comfortable, even if you don't like it.
Say that again. That's complicated.
Well, it's not that complicated. You see, if you don't see that your childhood ideas about your sister have filtered your experience of life with your sister and your life interactions with your sister based on the decisions made by a child years and years ago, that it's come over. That's why I started what you said with you by saying that, oh, she's a younger sister. Well, there's the beginning of it. Because, you see, you've been gathering evidence to prove your point of view about your sister and her imposition on your life right and blaming her. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I see that.
And so it's a non-investigated point of view generated from a child more than a half a century ago.
And it's self-sustaining.
Yep.
And so it finds those things that support its own point of view and totally disregards anything that shows your sister's love, caring, willingness to support you, etc.
Yeah, I definitely have judged her.
That's right.
Now, I have a question. If you've ever been around anybody who's judged you, do you find that you do your best work or that you're self-expressive?
Or expansive?
No, I'm pretty... I close up.
Yeah, you close up. Well, when you close up, do you find that your interactions with people are always the kindest or the optimal?
No.
Very neat. Very neat.
See, it all...
I get goosebumps,
right.
I'm telling you.
And it really does all start with you, you see.
I do see that, yeah.
Because, you see, you've set not the current you marry, but a childhood version of you set in motion an idea that you've been spending the better part of your life proving right. Unbeknownst to yourself.
And then if you judge her or you try to change her or think she should be different, it's like the relationship has to be strained.
Right, she can't be who she is.
No, but you haven't even allowed you to be who you are, you see.
Right.
Because you've been judging you the same way. See, here's the thing. Our approach is anthropological. And when you grow up amongst people who judge themselves, that's the way you learn to be, the same way you learned English as a language. You didn't think to pick English as your first primary language. It was just what you were raised in. And so it's become so normal. But you also pick up people's prejudice or self-judgments or harshness that they consider normal.
There's a new ad campaign in New York City that's on a lot of billboards.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little girl's face, and then underline it says, when you yell at another driver, she learns a lesson.
Oh, uh-huh.
And it's just a very simple thing, but it's so impactful because we learn attitudes unexamined, and as you were talking, what gets revealed is that a lot of your childhood and past memories of your sister were recorded from the point of view of the person who felt victimized by having to take care of her and help raise her. And so that wash colors all the experience.
Right.
And you learned that victimology from people who were doing their best.
And they learned it from people who were doing their best, but sometimes people do their best, and it's not such a best thing.
And then what Shia said about how the three principles are like a superstructure or a skeletal system to hang the flesh of your life, if you take a look at the second principle, that you could have only been as you were, she could only have been as she was, you could only learn the attitudes you have, and you realize...
And you're kind to yourself with it. You don't judge yourself for that, but you start to see it from the point of view of an anthropologist rather than finding fault with yourself for having behaved that way. Because you couldn't have done it any differently. You were raised in that environment. It's as though you were dyed with a chemical dye, the color yellow, and then you look in the mirror and you see yourself as yellow and you say, oh, I shouldn't be yellow.
Right.
You can't help but be yellow. Everybody who you grew up with was yellow.
Right.
So what's really cool is if you are had come from the idea that you were defective or your childhood was defective, and suddenly you really get it could only have been the way it was, then nothing is defective.
Then
nothing
it's all perfect.
Wrong.
Right, then it all becomes perfect. Because if you look in the dictionary under perfection, it says lacking no component part, immutable, not changeable. Well, the current moment lacks nothing. It's perfect exactly as it is. Whether people agree with it or not is irrelevant. It shows up as a perfect moment of your life. Well, since your life has been made up of perfect moments going back over time, it was perfect. Now, that doesn't mean you didn't victimize yourself with it, but hey, this is a new moment of now, you know. This is a new moment of your life. You can, in this moment, reclaim your life.
You know what? You may actually see your sister now for the very first time.
Absolutely, because you now have new eyes through which to see. They're not clouded by the decisions made by a six-year-old or an eight-year-old.
Uh-huh. And the key, really, again, Mary, is to be kind to yourself. Because anything you see about yourself, to begin with, without judging, completes it.
And then they cease to be difficult.
Yeah, I know it comes from me.
Well, we are very, very thrilled that you called in today.
Well, thank you. Me too.
It's just lovely.
It's nice
lovely.
To talk to you again.
Yep, lovely. So thank you for being with us.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Being with us.
Nice to talk to you both.
Excellent. That was really sweet.
Really sweet. Excellent. I enjoyed that.
I did too.
It's so simple, you know. It's difficult for people to see sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah.
We need to take a break, so we will. Come on back with us, everyone.
And don't
miss
being here.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently, they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelt a clever girl named Dreadylocks.
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at energyhog.org. And from energyhog.org, she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back, everyone, to Being Here.
Yes.
I wanted to take a moment to invite you all to the Excellence Club. If you're not already on our email list, the Excellence Club, sign up. It's wonderful. We have articles of the month. We now have
videos of video podcasts that are downloadable.
Yeah, it's just really, really excellent. In fact, as far as dealing with difficult people, this month's article is about thinking peppermint. It really is about discovering what to do if you find yourself off center and about how to be kind to yourself when you discover things about yourself. So if you haven't gone up and read it yet, go to our website, transformationmadeeasy.com. It'll be an excellent support. And I just can't tell you. I would love to have you on the Excellence Club. I can tell you that. So please join us. By the way, if you would like to be a sponsor of our show, or you know someone, or if your company would, contact us at transformationmadeeasy.com.
We are still number one on the Seventh Wave Network.
Okay. So dealing
I thought that meant something.
Dealing with difficult people. Okay, so we have Dorothy on the line.
Dorothy, are you
Hi. There?
Hi. Hi, are you difficult?
You know, I am. I really hate to admit it.
Are you? How are you difficult?
Well, it's funny. I've been thinking about people who bug me because they're difficult, and then I see I do the same things that are bugging me in them.
I love you.
Did you hear that, Dorothy? She said she loves you.
That's nice.
I feel jealous here.
I love you. You have just handed our audience such a gift. You will absolutely have intolerance in other people, for other people who embody aspects of yourself that you have intolerance for.
Yep. I see they, like, there's this one person that works for me, and he argues with everything. I say, oh, he doesn't listen. He's a bad listener. He argues. He says, no, it won't work. That's not how we used to do it. And then I catch myself doing the same thing with my boss.
Right. So maybe, Dorothy, he is a reflection of the way you're interacting with your life. See, what if, Dorothy, the way people were is a reflection of how we are being into life? If we're curt, if we're going somewhere, if we don't listen, they offend themselves and give us back what we left them with.
But that's not how I want to be.
Well, that's the problem.
But now, wait a second. Here's the thing. So that's the first principle of instantaneous transformation.
Yes, ma'am.
Here's the skeleton that we're hanging the muscles on. Ready? The flesh. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to be a certain way, anything you resist, like not wanting to be that way, persists. You stay that way and gets stronger. It dominates your life. So you're saying you don't want to be that way keeps it locked in place.
That's so true.
Well, it's really funny, too, Dorothy, when you say, but I don't want to be that way. It reminds me a little of an old Shirley Temple movie where she's stamping her foot, shaking that curly little head.
Did you watch Shirley Temple when you were a little girl, Dorothy?
Oh, yes.
Did you love her? Did you ever want to be
Shirley Temple, Dorothy?
Because she was cute, too, and I just got spanked or something and told not to be that way. Well, you know, she just, oh.
Yeah, but that little pouty face, I don't want it that way.
You're good. That was so
That's
good.
That's so
that
true.
Because when you said that, it reminded me of that.
Of
Shirley.
Right. What was it?
Don't want to be like Shirley.
No.
What, the little colonel?
The little colonel,
yes.
Right.
I want my daddy back. You know?
That's just how it feels.
It's like you're stamping your foot,
it wasn't even that cute on a little kid.
I'll bet you, if
I sat you down to watch a day of old Shirley Temple movies, you'd get nauseated.
Uh huh.
Because you do not want to emulate her as the adult. How old are you?
53.
Yeah, so 53 is. You don't want that.
You've gone 49 years. Over what you need to with that act.
Yes.
Okay? You can. Here's the thing about transformation, Dorothy. You can start your life right now. It doesn't have to be influenced by the decisions you made in the past if you see them.
Uh-huh.
So it's as though you are seeing your behavior. If you don't judge it, that's the critical thing. That's the third principle of instantaneous transformation. If you do not judge what you discover, it will complete itself in an instant. It doesn't take place over time. So if you see that you've been recalcitrant and disagreeing with the way your life shows up and wanting to do it your way, and you don't judge it as a bad or wrong thing, it's over. You can start fresh right now. Now, it doesn't, you know, here's an interesting thing. I just found out that I got a lot of lead in my system from early in my life when I used to make lead sinkers to go fishing.
Wow.
So, you know, I breathe the air of the melting lead, and I absorb a great deal of lead into my system. I just found that out this past week. Now, I cannot pretend that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm dealing with it now by doing detoxification things to get rid of those heavy metals that are in my body. But I don't have to, and I may have some consequences from that that I won't like.
Uh-huh.
But there's nothing I can do about that other than what I'm doing. And thinking I should have done something differently is a joke because I couldn't have done anything differently. See,
huh.
You have the opportunity to embrace the way your life is showing up in each moment. You can't pick and choose, though. You can't say, well, I don't like this. I don't want it
right.
This way. Because that's not going to have any effect on it except to keep in place those things you don't like.
Can I go back to something you said earlier, Dorothy?
Please.
I want to give you a tool, which hopefully you will never need. You should get very suspicious when you say to yourself, he's not a good listener.
Uh-huh.
Because if he's not a good listener, you're not listening to him. If you could hear from his perspective why he thinks it won't work.
Rather than being right about your point of view.
Which is, I'm your boss, do it.
Then
what you may discover is that you actually create something between you that hadn't been suggested either by his way or by your way. What you're talking about in that moment when you were saying he's not a good listener is like a win-lose. One of you has to win and the other has to lose. That's change. It's normal. It's the way it works. It's hierarchical. I'm your boss. Do as I say. And people obviously don't like to be told what to do. You don't like to be told what to do. There's something that happens when you actually really listen where between you, you may come up with something that you're both very satisfied with. Well, it's even better than what you originally expected.
Oh, yeah. I see that. I always expect, I know what he's going to say, so I don't listen really to him. He's just going to recite his complaint the way he always does. But if I listen to him,
well,
really heard from his
You got to take something else into account, and that's that he's a he.
Yeah.
And without realizing it, you may be dismissive of men, which creates the problem in the first place, because he doesn't feel seen or heard. How do you feel when you're not seen nor heard by someone?
Kind of desperate. I try real hard to, like, make, you know, I try to get their attention.
Right.
Yes, and usually you don't do it by being great.
No.
Usually you do it by being a pain in the butt that they have to give you attention. Yeah?
Yep, that's true.
And so you're manifesting that with him. And it may not be what you want, Dorothy.
You know the other thing, Dorothy? You may also just have a barricade between you and the complication of a man. You just may have a natural barricade between you and another person. But it's actually a little bit more in-depth idea than we have in this segment of the show. So I'm wondering if you can come back after the break and we can talk about it a little further.
Yeah, I can do that.
That would be excellent.
Excellent.
We would love that.
And so we're going to be going to a break now.
So are you ready to help us with this, Dorothy?
Come on back and don't miss...
Being here.
Being here. Right.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
I know, being a college freshman is supposed to be tough, but let me tell you about my schedule this semester. All 18 credits. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have American Lit at 8:05 a.m., and then I only have 15 minutes to get to my 9:15 Ethics and Value Theory class all the way across campus, then in the afternoon, Calculus 1. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have two lectures that go through lunch, Sociology of Families, then Intro to Microbiology. Pre-med. And finally, I have a double lab that ends around 9 p.m. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you.
If a kid will do whatever it takes to get through college, what will you do to send her there? Please support the United Negro College Fund and call 1-800-332-UNCF, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back, everyone, to Being Here. We are speaking with Dorothy, but before we continue our conversation with her, I want to personally invite you on behalf of Shy and myself to our Creativity and Intuition Weekend at the end of this month, July 31st, August 1st and 2nd.
It's going to be phenomenal.
In fact, you may notice that our intuitive skill set we are employing while talking to both Mary and Dorothy, and it's just such a freedom to have not only your intelligence and your knowledge available to you, but your ability to include impressions and things that come spontaneously and have that as a facility as well. In fact, next week's show is about creativity and intuition, and, of course, you're invited to listen in. So, you there? Still there, Dorothy?
I am.
A few weeks back at one of our Monday nights, a gal stood up and she was talking about how she had been out to dinner with her parents and her 13-year-old nephew, and we will call him Sam. And Sam, at dinner, had said, "I want to go to a place with chicken wings." He was in town, and she's very loves that she can show people great places to eat. She found a place for chicken wings. He got there with her and her parents, and he ordered something different. So she had spent the whole evening around chicken wings, and he wanted something else, so she found herself a little offended. And then he turned to her over dinner, and he said to her,
"I'm going to squirt you in the eye with this Tabasco."
Which she found highly offensive. And what Shia and I realized is at age 13, your hormones are running
amok. They're running wild in your body. And as I was a 13-year-old boy once, and I remember the embarrassment I had being around beautiful, sexy women. I mean, it just drove me crazy. I'd do anything to get them away from me.
And I'm absolutely, absolutely certain that...
But it's become an addiction. That, as a, you see, anything you resist...
What are you talking about?
My addiction to beautiful women like you.
Oh, thank you. I was mid-thought, no two things can occupy the same space at the same time. So when you said that...
And I was being creative.
Oh, there you go. I'm certain that this gal absolutely underestimates how sexy she is. And, you know, as much as we all... You can go out into the garden and you can be there and you're bending over and you're weeding... And, you know, as much as we are all civilized...
And as much as you find fault with yourself, you do not realize how attractive you are.
And if this individual is someone you find annoying, then it's really inconvenient if additionally he is also a male with hormones who attracts you. So you put up this barrier, and if you can find people annoying, you don't have to deal with the complexity or the difficulty of having a physical body and being attracted to inconvenient people.
That's Dorothy. True. Hello?
Does that compute?
Yes, because what I notice is I sort of have I look for one thing that I don't like, and then I switch off interest in the person.
Very good.
It's the light switch approach. That's it. You're out of here.
It's true. Yeah. It's usually something like class or education or origin or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's rotating. Whatever will work.
Yeah. I sort of fill in the slot with something.
You know, the other thing is people who are insecure pick on other people who are insecure. And as you're speaking, Dorothy, first of all, I love your being as honest as you just were. But I'm certain you're not secure in yourself as a manager or as a sensual woman or as a sexual being. And there's a whole bunch of places where you're not entirely comfortable in your own skin.
And if you can see those areas without judging yourself for them, Dorothy, they will indeed complete themselves. But you have to relax into the moment in order for that to happen, rather than say no to how it's showing up.
Oh. Yeah, that's different.
You know, they're back in other modalities, there are things called peak experiences. And that often happens when a person finds themselves in sync with themselves and in sync with other people, where you're being kind to yourself, and that kindness radiates out to everything, the trees, the dogs, the people around you. And it's usually fleeting. But there's a possibility where you can discover how to keep this expression of kindness to yourself, how to increase your ability to have that. And it's awareness, the non-judgmental seeing of things.
Awareness.
Yeah. Non-judgmental seeing, awareness. That's all it takes. It's not hard. It's not difficult. It's about giving up being right. Now, that takes a little courage because it's uncertainty that you're going to bump into. When you're right about what you know or think you know, then it gives you a sense of security. But it's a false security based in knowledge that is not accurate at all or may not be accurate. See, what it requires, Dorothy, is a relaxation into who you're being in the present moment of your life. That's all it takes.
That just sounds so simple.
Well, part of it, you already did it. You know, when you start having a sense of humor about the Shirley Temple influence of your life? We've all been enculturated. This gal who we were speaking to about her nephew, when she was relating it, it was like a Latin American soap opera, and she came from Mexico. Her family is Mexican-based, so she was talking about the dramatics of it. It had the flavor of her enculturation. When I used to get upset, I walked around like an old I Love Lucy episode. You know, I remember when I, before I found myself fundamentally centered, when Shai and I lived at a meditation center, there was a gal from Germany who said to me, "You remind me of I Love Lucy in combat boots." I learned to model myself from people who I admired.
Usually the people we model ourselves after are 2 or 3 years older than us when we're growing up.
Yep.
And so our role models are deficient, if not defective.
But what's really cool is with awareness and the three principles, and it's like a complementary upgrade.
Right. Your computer, your personal computer, your personal mind-based computer needs an upgrade. And we were speaking about it with Mary earlier, how her childhood decisions about her sister and her life situation determined her life going forward for more than a half a century. That's amazing.
You know, everybody out there, you do not have to be determined by your past. Your life gets creative in this moment.
That's really exciting.
It is exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting because what went before is totally irrelevant, really. And, yes, you have to deal with certain consequences of the way you were, because that's the way it, that's why life shows up the way it does. Had I not made lead sinkers when I was 16 years old, I wouldn't have lead in my body now, maybe. Because I might have found another way to do it.
But there's no possibility for it to be different.
That's right. So beating
on
my,
dude.
That's right. Beating on myself the way it was does not produce any satisfaction.
And we'd love to leave you all satisfied. This is, show has flown by. It's really, really been our pleasure to be here with you today. We're coming back next week and talk about creativity and intuition. Come on back.
And don't miss being here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.